Good morning. My name is Chuck Hurley, president of the Iowa Family Policy Center, and thank you so much for coming today. I'd first like to compliment our team at the Family Leader and the Iowa Family Policy Center for putting together this marriage vow. It took many, many hours of research, and our team worked late into the night last night finishing it up. So thank you so much, folks. Great job. In this week where we celebrate our nation's Declaration of Independence, today we are celebrating our nation's Declaration of Dependence on marriage and the family as the very first and primary institution in this country. For those of you who are policy wonks or are critics, you'll note in the marriage vow a number of footnotes and citations where we try to back up every assertion that's made in it. If you find any problems, please let us know. We want this to be as accurate as possible. I'm going to go through briefly a few points on why we put together this candidate vow, and then I'm going to turn it over to Bob to talk about the candidate portion of the vow. This marriage vow, a declaration of dependence upon marriage and family, highlights faithful monogamy as the very heart of a designed and purposeful order. We highlight the enduring marital fidelity between one man and one woman that protects innocent children, vulnerable women, fathers, families, and the liberties of all American citizens under our republican form of government. As we state in the document, our exceptional and free society simply cannot endure without the transmission of personal virtue from one generation to the next by means of nurturing nuclear families comprised of sexually faithful husbands and wives. We acknowledge and regret the widespread hypocrisy of many who say they defend marriage, yet turn a blind eye toward the epidemic of infidelity and the anemic condition of marriages in their own communities. Unmistakably, the institution of marriage in America is in great crisis. I will not read every bullet point, but I do want to highlight a few of them. Our first bullet point addresses a very sensitive issue, and that is the marriage crisis in the minority community, particularly the African American community. My wife and I have been heavily involved in an African American church the last several years and have helped start an inner city school in Des Moines. And we have seen firsthand the devastation of fatherlessness. While slavery was a horrific institution and had a disastrous impact on African American families, sadly, statistically, a child born into slavery in 1860 was more likely to be raised by his mother and father in a two-parent household than is an African American baby born today, even after the election of the United States' first African American president. Racial relations and racial issues have made great advances, and we all celebrate the fact that an African American can be elected to the highest office in this land. But we have a grave marital and family crisis. But not just in our minority community. The second bullet point outlines LBJ's war on poverty being triggered by the famous Moynihan Report, which noted that black out-of-wedlock birth rates had hit 26%. They are now over 70%. And the white out-of-wedlock birth rate exceeds 26% now. The overall rate is 41%, a prime sociological indicator for poverty, pathology, and prison, regardless of race. About 1 million U.S. children suffer through divorce each year. About half of all first marriages and about 60% of remarriages end in divorce, and that disproportionately affects economically vulnerable families. After much research and study, as you can see from this document and its footnotes, we at the Family Leader were compelled to compose this vow for those who seek elective office to lead our land. Here to explain the candidate portion of the vow is the Family Leader's president, Bob Vanderplaats.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you to the media and those others who came out today. Let me be clear, it was not our intent to develop a candidate vow or pledge. But as we took a look at some of the happenings that have been taking place as of recent, what's happened in the New York legislature, what's happened with Congressman Wiener, what's happened with Governor Schwarzenegger, what's happened with Congressman Foley, what's happened with Governor Sanford, what's happened with, you know, Governor Spitzer. I think what you would see is that this is a bipartisan issue, and we said we really want leadership today on marriage and the family, authentic leadership. This vow and this pledge is not intended to beat any person up, any candidate up for their past. It's about looking forward to the future and embracing the authenticity of one man, one woman marriage and its impact on the family. So the candidate vow that we came up with is, first of all, personal fidelity to your spouse. If you're looking at being a leader of our great country or a leader in another capacity, we'd like to have you pledge personal fidelity to your own spouse and respect for the marital bonds of others. We believe all society would benefit with leadership just like that. We also have asked for official fidelity to the U.S. Constitution, that we'd only appoint constitutionalist judges. We saw right here in Iowa what happens when courts step outside of their constitutional bounds. So we want fidelity to the U.S. Constitution and the appointment of judges. We'd like to see a candidate vow vigorous opposition to any redefinition of the institution of marriage, faithful monogamy between one man and one woman, through statutory, bureaucratic, or court-imposed recognition of intimate unions, which are bigamous, polygamous, polyandrous, same-sex, or any other type. Recognition of the overwhelming statistical evidence that married people enjoy better health, they enjoy better sex, longer lives, greater financial stability, and that children raised by a mother and a father together experience better learning, less addiction, less legal trouble, and less extramarital pregnancy. You will hear some people say it's only about the economy. We think these stats prove this is all about the economy. Healthy marriages lead to healthy families, which leads to a healthy society. Support for prompt reform of uneconomic, anti-marriage aspects of welfare policy, tax policy, and marital divorce law, and extended second chance or cooling off periods for those seeking a quick divorce. Earnest, bona fide legal advocacy for the Defense of Marriage Act at the federal and state levels. I think it bothered all of us, regardless of party, when our president said that he would no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act. I didn't realize that he had that privilege. So we'd like to see the next executive say that they will give bona fide legal advocacy for the Defense of Marriage Act. Steadfast embrace of a federal marriage amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which protects the definition of marriage between one man and one woman in all of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where it's going. And we believe we need to have a federal constitutional amendment. Humane protection of women and the innocent fruit of conjugal intimacy, our next generation of American children, from human trafficking, sexual slavery, seduction into promiscuity, and all forms of pornography and prostitution, infanticide, abortion, and other types of coercion or stolen innocence. This is about the next generation. Support for the enactment of safeguards for all married and unmarried U.S. military and National Guard personnel, especially our combat troops, from inappropriate same-gender or opposite-gender sexual harassment, adultery or intrusively intimate commingling among attractives, restroom, showers, barracks, tents, etc. plus prompt termination of military policymakers who would expose American wives and daughters to rape or sexual harassment, torture, enslavement, or sexual leveraging by the enemy in forward combat roles. Rejection of Sharia Islam and all other anti-woman and anti-human right forms of totalitarian control. Recognition that robust childbearing and reproduction is beneficial to the U.S. demographic, economic, strategic, and actuarial health and security. Again, it's about the economy, it's about our society, marriage and family. We also believe it's about the economy to say we're going to limit the size of government, commitment to downsizing government, and the enormous burden upon American families of the USA's $14.3 trillion public debt. It's $77 trillion in unfunded liabilities, it's $1.5 trillion federal deficit, and it's $3.5 trillion federal budget. I think all of us would say when we take a look at the research, one of the causes, main causes of divorce in our society is economic duress, financial stress. We'd like to see the government get its house in order and have a limited government and take care of this national debt issue that we face, as well as a fierce defense of the First Amendment's rights of religious liberty and freedom of speech, especially against the intolerance of any who would undermine law-abiding American citizens and institutions of faith and conscience for their adherence to and defense of faithful heterosexual monogamy. When we put this vow together, we are going to ask all presidential candidates, including Barack Obama, to sign this pledge. Because we recognize that America's backbone begins with the family. I think President Obama believes this as well. Obviously, he's a good family man. He loves his wife. He has two lovely daughters. I know he understands the importance of marriage and family and its crucial link to preserving America's greatness. And I'm sure with his dedication to his family and his understanding the importance of one man, one woman marriage, I'm confident that he'll sign the family leader's vow and this pledge. But we're going to get it out to all presidential candidates, including Barack Obama. We're also going to get it out to many civic leaders, organizational leaders, for their signature. Again, not looking at the past, but looking at the future. With the presidential candidates, we're going to get it out by the end of next week, I believe July 15. They'll all have it in their hands. We're going to ask for its return by August 1st. So at the state fair and before the straw poll, we can let know who has signed this pledge and who has not signed this pledge. And if they have not signed the pledge, we want to know why would you not sign the pledge? Do you have an issue with personal fidelity to your own spouse or respecting the marital bounds of other or appointing only constitutional judges or standing up for women and children? So what we're asking them is to complete and sign this and return it to us by August 1, and then we'll make those results known at the state fair and prior to the straw poll. With that, Chuck Hurley, president of Iowa Family Center, and myself are available for any questions. Not to repeat Meatloaf, but you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, we do. We want to. We believe robust childbearing is very good. We think Planned Parenthood should be defunded. And I think you saw in this most recent here at the state legislature, we're against all taxpayer funding of abortions. Yes. I'm going to let Chuck comment on this as well in regards to what's taking place in California. But I think any of us taking a look at what's happening with marriage, not only in the state of Iowa, but across the country, it's going to be a federal issue. And so we want candidates to embrace a federal amendment to our Constitution. But Chuck, why don't you explain on the California piece?
There are several aspects that involve the federal government. One is the 500 plus laws that the federal government has in regard to tax law and so forth. And that's why it was appropriate for Congress to pass DOMA in 98. Two is the homosexual legal activists are wanting this and have now forced this into the federal courts with a design to run it up to the U.S. Supreme Court through the case that Judge Walker in California, federal district judge, recently ruled the California state constitution unconstitutional. And third is history reflects that when Utah sought to become a state, marriage was a federal issue. The federal government said you can't become a state until you revoke your practice and authorization and legality of polygamy. And so there are certain affronts to the institution of marriage that the federal government cannot avoid. But your point, your inceptional point, that states are the main laboratory or regulator of marriage is a good one. And that's where we would prefer it to be handled whenever it can. The fact is, if that if Walker's ruling gets to the U.S. Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court does what many prognosticators think it will do and uphold Walker and his ruling, then it a fortiori is a national issue. The federal marriage amendment is, at that point, the only remedy.
We would like to see them be completely for the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death. And in our marriage vow, I don't believe we list that specifically, unless you have a bullet that I'm missing, Jennifer, but we'd like to see them be in sanctity of human life from conception to natural death without exception. Sure.
Certainly, the U.S. Supreme Court has delineated what is prosecutable, and even with the Ashcroft Department of Justice, and certainly then more so with the Holder Department of Justice, we have not had illegal pornography prosecuted. So we would expect the executive to appoint an attorney general who would vigorously prosecute all illegal pornography. Well, that's certainly what we want. If there is a candidate who comes to us and says, I agree with everything in here except I would only support a law that would outlaw abortion with exceptions for rape and incest, I'm not sure what we do, Kay. It's a good question. I don't know that we teased that out last night as we completed this document. Bob, do you have any more clarity than that?
No, I think we've been very clear as an organization, our commitment to the sanctity of human life. And we're for the sanctity of human life without exception. In regards to the signature of this document, if a candidate brought that up, we'd be willing to discuss that with them and what their rationale is. Yeah, we'd welcome them to sign this pledge. I think what we recognize as an organization, what we recognize as a people of faith, is that we all fall short. And you know, I'm sure there's plenty of things in my past that people could beat me up for and hold me account to. What we're saying is, let's move forward. Let's move forward, and you're looking to be president of the United States. Let's show a commitment to personal fidelity. So we're not looking at beating people up for their past at all. You bet they can sign the pledge, and we'd welcome them to sign that pledge. Exactly. And that's why we saw with what happened in New York, what's going on in the state of California, obviously what happened here in Iowa, And what we're seeing from some of our public figures, as I mentioned, Schwarzenegger and Spitzer and the others, we say, you know, it's time to do a marriage vow. And we're committed to this. As you see, we put a lot of thought into this. We put a lot of research into this. And we've laid out the vow, I think, very forthrightly. And I think the candidates will embrace this. We probably won't be backing any candidates at that point. What we have said is that for the candidates who do not sign this, obviously we'd like to enter in conversation with them on why they did not sign it. But we don't look forward to endorsing their candidacy in the primary campaign if they do not sign the pledge. Yes, matter of fact, the question was, would they still be invited to our debate and forum on November 19? They'll all be invited to our debate and forum on November 19. We have made our own pledge as an organization that we will not endorse any candidate until after the November 19 forum / debate.
Lynn, a more detailed answer to your good question is in footnote 9.
Did we do that?
No, we have not. We have not endorsed or recommended any candidates, and if something went out that announced a Bachman event, it was not on Bob's and my. It was not Bob's and my doing. I'm sorry about that.
I just want to clear that up real quick. Chris, do you know what she's? Or was it for a tea party?
For a tea party event. Well, you know, I'm sorry. It was inadvertent. We are not favoring Michelle Bachman. We just got a request in the last few hours to notify people of some Pawlenty events, and we've not sent that out. So, no, we're staying completely neutral until after November 19th.
I think, I mean, that I'll take the fall for that if that's what happened. Usually what we do when other organizations ask us to notify the people about a Tea Party event, and we work and support a lot of their efforts as well, that we'll notify our constituents. So my guess is that they asked and we said, you know what, we'd be happy to notify. What Chuck was talking about just recently, we've been asked to notify people of an endorsement to get out to our, and we said absolutely not. Because we honestly are fair, level, and neutral for this entire process up to the November 19 debate and forum. The candidates will all have a copy in their hand, as I mentioned, by July 15. My guess is it'll be before that, but to make sure that there's no interruption in the Postal Service, they'll have it by July 15. We are asking for its return by August 1, which is a Monday. No, not at all, Lynn. That's a good question. And the question, again, was, you know, did we on purpose withhold the pledge so we could get the speakers into our lecture series? Absolutely not. I think, again, what prompted us is what we saw from some office holders, as well as what we saw with what happened in the New York legislature, and then what's going on in the California courts. We saw the need for a marriage vow at that point. And I think for any of you who have attended the presidential lecture series, we've asked a lot of these questions of the presidential candidates. So this isn't something that we're trying to blindside them with. We've been very upfront with it. Any other questions before we wrap it up? All right, we thank you for coming out, and we'll notify you on who signs the pledge, probably by the state fair.